WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports on this September 7th, 2015. Happy Labor Day, ladies and gents, boys and girls. We are so honored and glad that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your holiday weekend. As always, my name is Al Martin, and I am your host, always have been, and we have a lot to get to on today's show. We will recap the weekend that was in the world of college football. Of course, Isaac Constance, our engineer here on Current Sports, and myself, we were out in Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's right, to witness on Friday night that matchup between the Michigan State Spartans and the Western Michigan University Broncos. We'll give you guys post-game coverage as well as break down what we saw and what sort of tweaks need to be made in order for the Spartans to be ready and fully ready for a chance at redemption as they now play host to Oregon this weekend. So we'll talk about that. We'll also be chatting about the entire college football week one scene. Give you guys a preview of that Michigan and Oregon game this weekend. Also have weekend winners for you and chat about so much more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. Call 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. Or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Labor Day. Madre London ran for two touchdowns in the first several minutes of his college career to help the fifth-ranked Spartans build a big lead as they needed to hold off Western Michigan for a 37-24 victory on Friday night. The Spartans had a 27-7 lead in the second quarter and were up by 24 points in the third. The Broncos pulled to within 10 points early in the fourth by putting together two long TD drives. We'll have more from that game last week in just a second. Mark D'Antonio has announced on a teleconference yesterday that he has suspended reserve safety Mark Myers indefinitely for an incident that took place Saturday night. Myers was arrested for operating while intoxicated and was released Sunday from Ingham County Jail in Mason. A call seeking confirmation from the jail was not returned by Joe Rexroad and the Detroit Free Press. Now, Myers of Toledo, Ohio, saw action in Friday's 37-24 season opening win at Western Michigan, playing with the first team defense when starting safety Monte Nicholson left the game briefly with an arm injury. It looks like he won't be available for Saturday's game at Spartan Stadium between Oregon and the Spartans, and that appears to be the case for linebacker Drake Martinez as well, as Martinez did not travel with the team for Friday's game. We don't know if that's an injury or what is going on with Martinez, but I'm sure we will find out as this week progresses. Five of the Michigan State players cut last weekend have found their way onto their team's 10-man practice squads, according to various reports from NFL.com. Offensive tackle Dan France, who led Cincinnati offensive linemen in snaps in the preseason, is back with the Cincinnati Bengals practice squad for a second year. Linebacker Max Bulla is also back on Houston's practice squad per Houston Chronicle after beginning last year there and working his way up to the 53-man roster. Three of MSU's undrafted free agents from the class of 2015 made practice squads as safety Curtis Drummond signed with Houston, linebacker Tywan Jones with New York, the New York Jets, that is, and converted linebacker Marcus Rush with the San Francisco 49ers. The Detroit Tigers fell to the Cincinnati Indians in a three-game weekend series, 2-1. Justin Verlander pitched yesterday in the 4-0 shutout loss. Verlander was solid once again, posting his sixth consecutive quality start by allowing three earned runs on seven hits over seven innings. He struck out four and walked one over 107 pitches, so a great outing by JV, but just no run support. The Tigers have now dropped five consecutive series. Anthony the Dog Durrell, native of Flint, Michigan, scored an impressive unanimous decision over Marco Antonio Rubio Sunday afternoon in the Premier Boxing Champions on CBS Main Event from the American Bank Center in Texas. Now, Durrell won by scores of 100-90 on all three judges' scorecards and showed that he still had more left in the tank when he pulled off a backflip in the ring just seconds after the final bell. Pretty cool stuff there. Serena Williams saw off a significant threat to her Grand Slam hopes with a victory over 19th seed Madison Keys at the U.S. Open. Williams, the world number one, beat her fellow American 6-3, 6-3, to set up a quarterfinal against her sister, Venus Williams. Serena is now three wins away from competing from the first calendar Grand Slam since Steffi Graf did in 1988. Wow. Now, Tom Brady's silence has finally ended on Sunday when he fielded questions from the media for the first time in 7 months. Although the Patriots QB managed to sidestep pretty much every Deflategate-related question, Brady was open about one thing. The quarterback said he feels terrible for locker room attendant Jim McNally and equipment assistant John Jastrzemski, the two Patriot employees who were suspended indefinitely after the Wells report was issued. And last but not least, a troubling story from Texas. Two San Antonio high school football players have been suspended and could face criminal charges after one hit a referee from behind and the other subsequently speared him with his helmet during a game Friday night. The two defensive backs from John Jay High School hit the back judge in the waning moments of a 15-9 loss at Marble Falls, which is located about 90 miles north of San Antonio. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number. Call 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. But hey, it's about that time to start the show. For the outside media, there was no case of Where's Waldo as we approached Waldo Stadium. In fact, this venue lit up like it was the Super Bowl. Michigan State visited for the first time in the 14 years that these two squads have met. With Michigan State's win tonight, they have now won the last 10 meetings. But it's pretty clear when talking with the players and personnel that there are plenty of wrinkles to iron out.
Personally, for me, clutchness, third down catches, and really just keeping the momentum going throughout the whole game, and really not taking our foot off the pedal.
And when we got our foot on the throat of a team, we got to go ahead and close it out. Can't let them breathe. And as the season, you know, continues to progress, I believe we'll do that.
At the end of the day, we got a lot of things to clean up. It's the first game out there, so we saw a lot of different things out there, maybe that we didn't practice, but that's no excuse for us, and we know we got a lot to clean up. Hats off to Western Michigan. You know, they had some great players out there.
That was everything that we expected. They were going to come out hard. You know, this was a Super Bowl to them. And we knew they were going to come out hard. We just had to stay focused and keep executing on the big plays.
I think there's plays need to be made and plays weren't made. So I don't think guys were complacent. Guys were, you know, getting comfortable. I think just there was plays that need to be made. And whether if it was me not making a throw or me not making the right read, you know, stuff like that needs to get done. And especially in situations like that, we need to put a game away.
One testimony of a great team is how that team responds during moments of uneasiness. And that moment came in the fourth quarter as the Broncos cut into the Michigan State lead, only a 10-point game after that touchdown. But the response was like a breath of fresh air. And it does not get easier from here as the Spartans now have a golden chance at a bit of redemption as they now play host to Oregon at Spartan Stadium next week. And we all know what occurred last year. I'm Al Martin here in Kalamazoo, Michigan at Waldo Stadium for WKAR's Current Sports.
Hey,
And now, I'm Al Martin here at Studio S here in East Lansing, Michigan. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents. That was actually my post-game report on Friday night after the dust had settled as Michigan State topped the Western Michigan University Broncos. Man, oh, man, was it a crazy time down there. Oh, boy. It was a great game to cover, though, I will say that, because Kalamazoo was simply on fire. They were pretty jacked up, pretty amped up, knowing that a top five college football team was coming to their wheelhouse at Waldo Stadium. And it was a huge event for them. I mean, it was standing room only. A very cool stadium at Waldo Stadium, because when you walk in and you kind of, if you're on the field and you're like looking around, I mean, there's like two areas where fans are just posted up on the grass enjoying the game. There's this really, really scenic tree, like right near the I want to say the north end zone that stands really, really high. It's a beautiful stadium. I didn't realize how nice it was until we got there. So that was my first time covering a game at Western, college football game at Western. So I was really interested to see how the atmosphere was there, and it was off the chain. And as you heard in my report there, during halftime, there was actually a fireworks halftime show, folks. And again, I kid you not, just like Madre Lennon just said, I mean, it was like their Super Bowl. I mean, it was a pretty big event. And we were just talking to those, some of the fans and personnel that attended the game from the Western Michigan University standpoint. And they were saying that, yeah, this is a big deal for us, a very big deal for us. But it was pretty entertaining as well. And it got a little dicey in that fourth quarter, as you saw Michigan State. Their lead was cut to 10 points in that fourth quarter. Western did not give up, and I really believe that Western Michigan is going to have a very, very good year within their conference. So we're going to break down the Michigan State game in just a second. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, hey, happy Labor Day, folks. It is still your holiday weekend. I hope many of you guys are enjoying it with family and friends, as this marks the very last holiday of the summer. And I'm sure many of you guys are soaking it up. I'm just scrolling through my Facebook page. I see some of you guys are on the beach. Some of you guys are out of town. Some of you guys are just in the backyard enjoying a brew or two. So, hey, enjoy it. Enjoy it, because it's certainly back to the grindstone tomorrow. A day early for us. This is the first time we've actually done a current sports radio show on Labor Day. I'm excited for it. I'm certainly excited for it. Anytime I get to rock the mic and talk to you guys, it is certainly a blessing. So right now, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, my man, Isaac Constance. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing well. Bit of a fiasco heading over here, because when I walked over to get all the bites ready for today and, just prepare the show, I found that every single door to the building was locked.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thankfully you have an access code for one of the doors, just one. But man, you wouldn't think that it would be that dead, that isolated during Labor Day. That was unexpected for me.
Well, it usually is. I mean, because of course we record Current Sports here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building at Michigan State University, and it's a holiday for the university. So ideally, I mean, this is the last chance for students to, especially those who live in Michigan, this is the last chance for them to go back, see mom and pops, see, the cousins, hang out with friends, enjoy the beautiful weather. Because after this, I mean, what's the next holiday you have to look forward to? I mean,
Thanksgiving. What
is Thanksgiving, you know what I mean? So they're trying to soak it up and not have to worry about classes. So I get it. I get why I was isolated. So, hey, we're here. We're on the air, and we're excited for it. And we're certainly excited to talk a lot of college football today. And I want to dive into this Michigan State and WMU college football game first, Isaac. We'll get to all of the scores that we saw over the weekend as well, because it was certainly some exciting moments and some unexpected victors throughout the weekend as well. But for Michigan State, for me, I mean, just looking at the takeaways from this game, I really thought that Michigan State competed very well throughout this game. Now, were they outstanding? Was this an outstanding performance? No, by no means. I really think that there are still a lot of wrinkles to iron out, as I said in my post-game report, which you guys can actually catch if you go to WKAR.org right now. And actually, the voices that you heard through your speakers was wide receiver A.J. Troop, DeAnthony Arnett, senior wide receiver as well, Darian Harris, Michigan State linebacker, Madre London, redshirt running back, and, of course, quarterback for Michigan State, Connor Cook. So those are the voices that you heard. And they realized it. I mean, that was the premise of my story. They realize that they certainly have some things to work on before they go and play a top 10 team, also a top 10 team in Oregon. But looking at the takeaways and the positives from this game, Isaac, I really thought that as far as that running back position is concerned, when really breaking down, of course, running backs, LJ Scott and Madre London, I thought they were, you know, the really the shining lights. I mean, we also saw Gerald Holmes. He had 9 carries for 54 yards. You know, even R.J. Shelton, you know, he had 3 carries for 6 yards. But at the end of the day, I thought that as far as that three-headed running back race is concerned, of course, Madre London got the start. I thought that L.J. Scott and Madre London were the clear stars out in that Michigan State backfield. Now, looking at, you know, who's going to be that guy moving forward, again, Madre London got the start. I thought that L.J. Scott may have had a bit of a better game when looking at what he was able to do on the ground. I mean, Madre London, he had 13 carries for 59 yards. L.J. Scott, he also had 13 carries for 77 yards, though. L.J. Scott, he showed that burst of speed. Madre London, I mean, he's certainly an elusive guy. You're not going to get him down with the first tackle. He's a guy who can run over you as well. I really think that you're going to see a lot of both Scott and London, and possibly even a combination of those two as the season moves on, because I really like the production from both of them.
Well, and Holmes was no slouch either, Al. He had 9 carries for 54 yards and a touchdown. He actually had a higher average than either Scott or London in that game, and I expect that this will be a three-headed tailback position for the majority of season. I really can't see... Before the season started, one of my predictions was that London would lose that starting spot. I think that still holds true just because of the fact that all of these guys seem so close together in terms of that running back competition. I think the best way to go for D'Antonio is a three-headed running back position where all of them are utilized differently and all of them are used in every single game extensively.
Well, I want to say this. I do think that as the season rolls along, and again, I want to premise this by saying, folks, this is week one in college football. I always say every single week of whether it be NFL football or college football, that in week one, you really can't tell anything from any of these teams, any across the board, because we all know it's all about matchups in sports. Again, Michigan State was going against Western Michigan here, so I wasn't surprised, honestly, that L.J. Scott, Madre London, and Gerald Holmes were able to have some sort of efficient production against the Broncos. Don't get me wrong, the Broncos are a great team, but again, it's Western Michigan. Michigan State has dominated this series. You know, they've won the last 10 meetings now, for goodness sake. So at the end of the day, I think that as the competition becomes steeper as the weeks move on here, we will see one guy emerge as that number one guy. I really believe that. And I think when looking at, you know, what Madre London was able to do, I mean, he came out the gates and had those 2 touchdowns. You know what I mean? He looked fantastic. So I really think when comparing all 3 of what, you know, all 3 of those running backs were able to do, it's really hard to really tell who's going to be the number one guy right now. So ideally, D'Antonio has to keep on playing all 3 of these running backs to see who shines the brightest at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a good problem, though, Al. I think
it's a great problem
in
to have. Yeah.
In the history of college sports, these 2 and 3 running back combinations have really worked quite effectively. Alabama used that a couple of years back when they won the championship. They, of course, had Yeldon and amongst others, and Derrick Henry as well. And then they also, LSU used to use that combination. So I think that's always been an effective way to go when it comes to the running back position. The other thing, though, I agree with you. Western Michigan looked to me at times like a test game, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it certainly was.
Because
Even before they kicked off, it was a test game.
Exactly.
Let's be real here. Yeah.
Because Madre London, he started off, it's not like these carries were distributed evenly throughout the game. First half, most of the carries went to London. Third quarter and late second quarter, then you saw L.J. Scott starting to get carries. And then only in the fourth quarter did you see other guys begin to get involved in that running back position, such as Gerald Holmes. So throughout this game, D'Antonio was experimenting with a lot of different things, because even though it was a bit of a scare for Michigan State, they never got to the point where you thought they would lose it either.
Yeah, I tell you what, if to be honest, Isaac, if Western Michigan If they would have went down the field and scored, and if it wasn't for that Vyante Copeland interception, oh my goodness, Michigan State would have made headlines without a doubt. Because Western Michigan is a team you're supposed to go out there and dominate, point blank, period. But again, it's all about matchups. So I'm not privy to really jumping to concrete cement conclusions when looking at just the first game of the year. Now, on the other side, I thought Connor Cook overall had a pretty solid game. I wasn't high on Cook's performance, but I wasn't too low with it. I mean, he was 15 of 31 for 256 yards. He threw two touchdowns. I really thought that his numbers could have been better if his receivers also performed better. A.J. Troop, we saw him drop some passes. We saw McGarrett Kings. He could have had, in the back of the right end zone, he had an opportunity to catch a ball. I really got a nice shot of that one, too, right out of his hands. And McGarrett Kings really didn't seem like he was, just in a flow at all, or Troop. And we talked to Troop after, and Troop, as you just heard in that report, Troop said that he's got to play better. He's certainly got to play better, and he's got to go out there and catch the football. So, in week one, you're trying to knock off that rust, get back into game speed. So that needs to improve as far as the offense goes. I also think that this is something that we talked about, as time moved on throughout preseason training camp. How good was that Michigan State secondary was going to be? And that was something that really was tested. And P.J. Fleck, who is the youngest, college football coach in the game, he was pretty exciting to watch, especially when Western had those, those really nice special teams returns. But anyway, P.J. Fleck really wanted to test just how good that Michigan State defensive secondary was. And we saw some mishaps. We saw some missed tackles from linebacker Darian Harris. We saw some blown assignments from certain players. I really think, though, that Vyante Copeland is going to be great for this team. I think he can. He showed some athleticism. He had a rocky start. They certainly targeted him in the beginning portion of that game. But other than that, Vyante Copeland, I thought, really locked down and played well for this team. Western Michigan, though. Western Michigan throwing for 365 yards on you. That can't happen. That can't happen. And if you play like that against an Oregon team, you're going to get torched. So I really think that Michigan State, that's something that's going to be worked on through and through throughout this week, making sure that defensive secondary is straightened out. Also, special teams. We saw Michigan State special teams. They did not play well at the beginning portion of that game. And I told you, Isaac, after the game, I thought as the game went on, I'm sure they got their butts chewed out on that sideline. We saw them stay in their lanes and really play well as the game protruded. But in the very beginning, I mean, my goodness, you talk about the missed tackles. Guys, confused as to what lanes they were running in. And that's why we saw, those two early returns by Western. It really got momentum in their favor in the beginning parts of that game.
Oh, but, I agree. I think that the defense and especially the secondary will get better as the year progresses. What I'd be more worried about for Michigan State, though, is how long do they have for that defense to get better? In my opinion, they've got a week because Oregon comes to town.
Right.
And I don't think they can resolve and fix those changes in a week because, like you said, yes, Copeland got better as the game went along. And yes, Michigan State, you've got those first game jitters as always. You might not have expected quite so much from the passing game and Zach Terrell for Western Michigan if you're the Michigan State secondary. But either way, that was a rather shocking performance from the secondary because they got lit up on a few deep balls. Western Michigan had two receivers with over 100 yards, that being Corey Davis and Daniel Braveman. And I didn't think Cox or Copeland looked extremely comfortable. And I think the problem with the safeties remains in that both are better hitters than they are coverage defenders. So I do think these are problems that can be addressed over the course of a season. Whether they can be fixed for the next week, I'm not quite as sure.
I don't think there were problems that can't be fixed in a week, Isaac, just because I thought that more so, and I actually went back and watched that the majority of the game, the first through three quarters between Michigan State and Western on the Big Ten Network over the weekend to see what exactly went wrong on those special teams plays. And again, it goes back to just guys running your lanes.
No, special teams can be fixed,
yeah,
without
that,
a doubt.
That
was fixed during
fixed.
The game.
Now, the secondary, I agree with you. I think that secondary, it's no surprise. It wasn't surprising to me that Michigan State secondary did not play great because that was the big question mark that we were talking about throughout all of training camp. New guys coming into new roles, and we saw them just not comfortable. And hey, Western tested them. You know, Zach Terrell certainly tested them, and that secondary looked amateur at times throughout that game. So I think we're in agreement. I think Michigan State special teams has to play better. I think the running game is going to be there for them. Also, when it comes to the defensive line, I thought the defensive line was great for Michigan State. I mean, they were able to get a lot of pressure, and they were as good as advertised, I should say. Because,
and the run defense throughout the game was fantastic.
Fantastic. And that's what we're used to seeing from a Mark D'Antonio defense at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens now. They go on to play an Oregon team that beat Eastern Washington over the weekend. Of course, we have Vernon Adams. He's a Eastern Washington transfer who played in his first game. He looked good. I don't think he's going to be a Marcus Mariota. Let's be honest here, okay? Marcus Mariota, I mean, he was unbelievable. That's a fantastic talent. I think he's going to do great things at the next level. But I do believe that Vernon Adams is going to be a very good quarterback for this team, and a guy who can beat you not only with his arm, but also on the ground as well. He's got great jets. He doesn't have a really powerful arm, but, you know, he's a guy who can really get the offense going in multiple ways. So, Michigan State, they got some adjusting to do, and it's going to be a fantastic game this Saturday as College Game Day is going to be in the house. This is going to be the most intriguing game in all of college football this weekend. And, of course, we will be bringing you guys coverage of that matchup. And I also even saw that Vegas actually has that Michigan State and Oregon game slated as a pick'em. They're not even putting a line on this game. So no one, according to Vegas, is favored in this game. And I think that makes it all the world even more intriguing this weekend.
Oh, I just can't wait to see the over-under on this game. You look at last year, which was just a free-for-all in terms of scoring. I'm interested to see what the over-under is. I don't know what it will be, but I'll take the under because I think that this year – neither team necessarily has the options that they did last year. Oregon, of course, lost Mariota, and Michigan State lost Lippitt, and I think that's going to be a big blow because, like you said, I'm not sure if anybody really – yeah, I mean, some receivers had a good game yesterday. Josiah Price really impressed me.
D'Anthony Arnett was fantastic. I will say that. He looked great.
I thought Burbridge looked the best. I thought Price also looked good, and – But I'm just not sure if there's a Tony Lippitt in this team. So I think it'll be a lower scoring game than last time around. But I am excited to see this. It should definitely be a pick-up. This can go either way. And Sparn Stadium will be rocking.
I will say this, Isaac. If Michigan State plays how they did last year throughout those first three quarters, they're beating Oregon.
Yeah.
They are certainly beating Oregon. Because, again, if you remember, Michigan State, they had that game in their hands throughout the first three quarters of that game. And then we saw what occurred. That secondary for Michigan State was bad in the middle of the third through the fourth quarter, and they got tested, they got beat, they missed assignments, they got confused. Those linebackers got confused on the play action. But if Michigan State can sort of harbor what they did last year in that first half and throughout some of the second half as well, coming into the third quarter, Michigan State will win that game. I think they got to score at least 35 to 40 points in order to do it, though. That offense has to be rolling, I think.
Now, another part is the biggest difference I see between Vernon Adams and Marcus Mariota is their arm strength on the deep ball.
Yeah, that's what I said, right.
The big problem for Michigan State. That's why they got burnt a few times by Western Michigan, and that's why Oregon was able to come back so quickly against them last year. So I think a lot of the worries for Michigan State have been washed away by this quarterback change, even though I think Vernon Adams is very good. So it's looking good for the Spartans. It's also so nice having it at home. But with that being said, this is still an excellent Oregon team that can threaten so many ways.
Folks, we're taking your calls. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, Isaac, we will break down the entire week one scene of college football. Also, of course, focus on the Big Ten. We'll also have weekend winners for you as well as so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Thank you. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just want to give you guys a quick preview of the week ahead. Of course, Current Sports TV tapes this Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'll be sitting down with Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player, who also, of course, is the son of Deputy Michigan State Athletic Director Greg Iani. And Anthony has been doing one fantastic job ever since he's left the hardwood. He's been a motivational speaker, preaching an anti-bullying campaign with the Michigan Civil Rights Department. He also has been a big component in getting the message out about autism, in preaching autism awareness. Anthony was actually diagnosed with autism at a very young age. Doctors thought that he really wasn't going to progress and was going to really have a hard time in school. And just not be sharp. And Anthony proved all the doubters wrong. His story is so inspirational. We had him actually on our radio show a few weeks ago, but Anthony will be joining me on our TV airwaves this week. So you do not want to miss it. So we'll be taping that Wednesday at 6 p.m. in our WKAR-TV studios. And, of course, you can catch that episode on your televisions by simply tuning into WKAR-TV this Thursday night at 10:30, folks. We have moved our time from Thursdays at 10 o'clock to 10:30. So that's when you can now catch our new slotted time for Current Sports TV. So it's going to be a fantastic time. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply sign up online for free at WKAR.org. So don't want to miss any of that, folks. It's going to be a fantastic time. I always look forward to chatting with Anthony. Also, on Thursday, I'll be heading out on campus as Gene Washington, famed Michigan State wide receiver back in the day during the Duffy era. He will be making his return to East Lansing along with his daughter Maya Washington as they will be giving a preview of Through the Banks of the Red Cedar. It's an unbelievable documentary sort of profiling, how Duffy Daugherty, I mean, he really opened doors for, as far as recruiting goes, for African-Americans from the South into the North. And Michigan State, of course, they were ahead of the curve because of Duffy willing to do that. Gene Washington was one of those players. Bubba Smith was also one of those players. Clinton Jones, who we had on our show last week, he was also one of those players. And Clinton will actually also be in town for that. I'll be going out on campus to get a sort of a sneak peek preview of that incredible documentary that I'm certainly looking forward to. And I'll be chatting with Maya, Gene, and Clinton about it on Thursday. So you don't want to miss that feature as well. So an exciting week on here on Current Sports, as we'll also be getting your thoughts and predictions on that Michigan State and Oregon game. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And speaking of college football, we just broke down what occurred during the Michigan State and Western game and what we saw and what they need to fix going into the Oregon matchup this weekend. But looking at the entire spectrum of the college football scene, man, it was a fun day. You know, I literally just sat around and watched college football from the moment I got up until about 8 or 9 o'clock when one of my childhood friends, he was in town, and I hung out with him for the rest of the night. But, you know, throughout the most of the day, I was watching college football, folks. And, you know it's interesting when looking at the entire Big Ten scene of what took place on Saturday because, you know, it wasn't a great opening week for Big Ten football, to be honest with everyone. It really began with the thud on Thursday, Michigan falling at Utah. Sort of, you know, that was a game that was expected, though. I mean, many people didn't believe that Michigan honestly was going to win that game against the Utes. They dominated them last year. Michigan certainly had a chance in that game later in the game in the fourth quarter, but we all know what happened. Jake Rudock, I mean, throwing three interceptions throughout that game, that's just not going to get it done. And then you had, of course, Minnesota. They got beat at home by TCU, a game that, you know, really surprised many because TCU was expected to really dominate Minnesota and for that one to be a blowout. But Jerry Kill and that team, a fantastic outing, I thought, by Minnesota. Michigan State, they looked a bit rocky, of course, against Western. Penn State getting whipped by Temple. Christian, Hackenberg, he was sacked 10 times throughout that game. I hear a new nickname surrounding his last name. A lot of people are calling Christian Hackenberg, not Christian Hackenberg, but Christian Sackenberg. So that was ugly. Indiana, they barely beat FCS team. Wisconsin, they got dumped by Alabama. Of course, Nebraska lost to BYU in thrilling fashion. I thought we had that bite. We'll play that for you in just a sec. But again, the thrilling fashion on a Hail Mary in which Nebraska only rushed three. Oh, we do have it now. Here it is.
Three-man rush. Mangum, all kinds of time. Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line, and caught! Touchdown, BYU! Mitch Matthews on the last play of the game.
The ruling on the field is a touchdown. The previous play is under further review.
How about that? Man, BYU spoiling, of course, Mike Riley's first start as the head coach of Nebraska. That was just ugly. You know, you had BYU, you know, coming out. That was their only chance. I mean, they were down. They had to, you know, throw up a Hail Mary. Nebraska decides to rush three. You would think with eight guys back that someone would bat the football down, right? But unbelievable moment for BYU. I love the celebration. You know, the players are actually even hugging the referees in that game. It was a fantastic celebration, and congrats to BYU, but that's just an ugly loss for a Nebraska team that I think will be pretty good this college football year as well. So not a great showing by the Big Ten this weekend, and of course it was capped off by Alabama beating Wisconsin. And of course, you know, tonight, I can't forget this, that tonight Ohio State, of course, plays Virginia Tech at 8 p.m. So, you know, Ohio State, you know, is expected to win that game. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people jump to a conclusion and really compare this past week in Big Ten football to, if you remember, that second week last season that was an ugly outing for the Big Ten overall, in which, of course, Ohio State lost to VT, Michigan State lost to Oregon, Michigan got whipped by Notre Dame. The week before that, if you remember, Wisconsin, they got beat by LSU. And, you know, the Big Ten football was not on the radar anymore. But we saw what happened at the end of the year. Of course, Ohio State ends up becoming the national champions of college football. So I don't want to jump to any conclusions here because it's still a long season. It's just week one. And I really thought that a lot of big teams put up some valiant efforts. But, yeah, there were some ugly losses, Isaac.
Al, what I think we need to give due attention to, though, is Northwestern's win against Stanford.
Right, that was
that
nice.
That was an incredibly resilient display from Northwestern, and Stanford traditionally has been a team, yeah, they play pro ball, but they've got fifth-year quarterback, I think fourth or third-year starter in Kevin Hogan, and he was held to 155 yards through the air. Their rushing game didn't look too much better, and Northwestern looked good all around, so I was really happy to see Northwestern win. They're a team that's been on the ascendancy for a while now under Pat Fitzgerald. So I thought that was a good sign for the Big Ten because Stanford's number 21 in the nation, or not anymore, but that's what they were. So I thought that was a good showing for the Big Ten. And the other game that I really would like to give some good attention to was Auburn-Louisville, which was pretty close, 31-24. Mm-hmm. So the Tigers, they were sixth going into that game. I'd expect them to drop.
Yeah, certainly. And Jeremy Johnson, he looked okay. He didn't look great. Really didn't look great at all, to be honest. That was a tough outing for him at Auburn. And, yeah, give credit to Northwestern. I really think Northwestern has a star in their running back, Justin Jackson. I think Justin Jackson is going to be one heck of a college football player, folks. So I really enjoyed him and his performance over the weekend. Kevin Hogan, who came into, you know, that game as 25-8, he's 25-9 now. I mean, Stanford really, really, you know, looked pedestrian in that game. Kevin Hogan, he looked pedestrian. But you got to give credit to Northwestern. I mean, now, you know, under, you know, Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern is 9-1 in season opener. So he has done one outstanding job, and I think he will continue to do that. Watch out for the Wildcats because they are also a team that I think is going to be very, very good. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We have on line one our good friend Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, my man? Happy Labor Day to you, man.
Happy Labor Day, man. How you enjoying
Labor Day music, man?
Yeah. How are you enjoying it, my man? What are you doing? Are you maxing and relaxing in the backyard, enjoying the weather? It's a beautiful day.
Yes, I am. You know what? I'm downstairs. We have a streaming service called Music Choice Television.
Oh,
you know,
I love
it's
it.
On our cable system.
Yeah, I love
man,
it.
Man, I love it too, man. They have this song for the seasons. They playing all these records from Labor Day and stuff, man. I was cracking up at some of them choices they put on there. When they had James Brown Living in America, I bust out laughing.
That's a fitting song for Labor Day, though. I mean, you pay homage to those that have built this country. I love it. I love it, Mike.
Yeah, and Bruce Springsteen born in the USA, so.
Yeah, no, I did.
I was going to ask you about, you talking about Big Ten teams. What do you think about Temple beating Penn State?
How about that, man? And I just talked about, you know, Penn State, and I really think that James Franklin, I don't know if he was the right move for Penn State, him being hired after Bill O'Brien, who did an unbelievable job during that whole,
Joe Pye era.
And Bill O'Brien was fantastic. And when they hired James Franklin, I wasn't too high on him. And you saw, you know, why I'm not. Because I really think that he just really doesn't know what he's doing. Christian Hackenberg getting sacked 10 times. I mean, that can't happen. That can't happen. Yeah. So I think Penn State, you really saw what they are going to be for the rest of the year, just an average to mediocre team at best.
What surprised you about Michigan's effort? You think they better coach now, or is just that they lacking talent?
As far as the Wolverines go?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you heard my rant after that game on Friday, Mike, but I really think that Michigan had a solid outing. I really think they have some pieces to work with. I like Davion Smith as a running back. Jake Rudock, I thought two of those interceptions weren't his fault out of the three that he threw. Course, you know, I really think we see why Jake Rudock was a backup, though, for Iowa. Yeah. But he will get better. He will get better as the season goes on, you know. And I was really shocked that we didn't see the backup come in and see a kind of a combination between, you know, Shane Morse and Jake Rudock as that game went on. But with that being said, I mean, Michigan did have a chance to possibly take that lead if Rudock doesn't throw that last interception for that pick six. So overall, John, you know, we know that Jim Harbaugh is going to be he's going to do a great job for Michigan. But
you know what, Utah's well coached too, man.
Yeah, that's a good team. That is a very good team that Michigan
really
was going
are.
Against. One of the best defenses in all of college football. They had the best defensive line, arguably, in college football last year. And, you know, so you got to take that into account as well. Jim Harbaugh is going to do a great job with this program, but I just really think that it's a bit unrealistic that you think that this team is going to, you know, everything is going to align in his first year as the head coach.
What do you think about, speaking of a Utah University, VIU, in the last few seconds? Because what I see, those plays that happen, they happen more than not. Do you think so?
Yeah.
The last second play where they throw the ball up there and
right.
And the offensive player wind up catching in the end zone.
It's 28-27. You know, Nebraska, you know, with the lead, 1 second left on the clock. BYU, they had to throw up a Hail Mary. Nebraska decides to rush only three. And I feel like they're taking a lot of flack because of that. But, just doing the math here, if Nebraska rushes three, you got eight guys back. Somebody has to back that down. That's just terrible defense overall. So, I mean, BYU, you know, coming out and spoiling, you know, Mike Riley's, you know, first start as the head coach for the Cornhuskers. I think that's big, especially when looking at Nebraska, a team that I think is going to be very competitive as the year rolls on. That's the game of football. That's why you play the game, Mike. Things like that happen.
Exactly, man. I just got two more questions. I'll move it along for you. Did you like what Notre Dame did to Texas, or just Texas?
How about that?
No talent?
Notre Dame is a team that a lot of people have on their bubble to make the college football playoff. That is a very good team. And I wasn't surprised out there. I guess I could say that I was surprised at how dominant they looked over this past weekend. I really was impressed. I got a chance. I was actually flipping back and forth between the Alabama and Wisconsin game and that Notre Dame and Texas matchup. And I really thought that Notre Dame, they really showed and really opened the eyes of a lot of college football fans out there that they could be a team that can legitimately compete for that college football playoff.
And big ups to Michigan State for going to Western Michigan to play them. And big ups for them, man. That really shows how great Michigan State is really as a people who represent the state and state university to go to Western Michigan and play Western on their home field, because the other Big Ten team, they won't go to the Mount Pleasants and Kalamazoo's and even the Ypsilanti to play playoff, man. So big up to them, man. I like to moving on that note, man. Thank you for letting me talk and enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate the call as always, Mike. And I definitely agree. And, you know, as a part of that Celebrate the State series that in that agreement that, of course, Michigan State Athletics had with other universities across the state of Michigan. And it was a fantastic event. I mean, for those that went out and enjoyed that game, I mean, again, as you heard in my report, I mean, you would have thought it was like a Super Bowl, like the Super Bowl, like come to Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was that big, you know, a halftime fireworks show. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, fans out there really enjoying themselves. We saw tailgaters out there. It was a fantastic, fantastic showing out. Of both spectrums. I mean, you saw a lot of green and white, and you saw a lot of Bronco colors as well, folks. So I think it was like the black and gold colors or black and white.
Brown and yellow. I was talking about weird combination. I'm not sure if I get that, but it worked.
Yeah, it's been working for a while now. And I think that, you know, Western, they really came out and showed out, and it was good to see Kalamazoo rocking. So, and yeah, Notre Dame, though, going back to, you know, what Mike, I don't know if you caught that game, Isaac. I was flipping back and forth between those two games. Man, I really think that Malik Zaire, wow, he just picked apart that Texas defense, man. And, you know, the preseason reports on Malik, you know, I wanted to see him play in game action because I never really seen the kid play. He looked great. And, again, it's only week one, but this is a heck of a start for Notre Dame.
Oh, I can testify that just if you need a sample of Malik Zaire, go to last year's bowl game against my LSU Tigers.
Oh, yeah. You know your Tigers pretty well, and you know if anyone torches them pretty well. How did he play against LSU last year?
He was incredible. It was actually his first start as a college football quarterback, and he slowly phased Everett Golson. Everett Golson, the starting quarterback for Florida State and a four-year starter at that time for Notre Dame. He was – or now a four-year starter. Mm-hmm. He phased Everett Golson out of that game so quickly you would have thought – that he was the number one recruit in the nation. But he's just somebody who went under everybody's radar. He's a great runner with a nice arm. And, yeah, he could lead Notre Dame to the promised land. I've got to say, I've always given Notre Dame a lot of, I don't know, distaste because they are not in a conference. I don't get that. How are they an independent team? That should be reserved for United States military teams. But this year, at least they're playing a good schedule, and I think they're for real. They're playing Clemson, they're playing Boston College, they're playing Stanford, they're playing USC, who's overrated as always, but they're still a pretty good team. Notre Dame looks like they're for real to me. And then lastly, I just want to give some attention to, did you not say that Arizona State would make the playoffs?
I know, I knew it was coming. Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
I knew it was coming. That's why, like Fred Heumann from Channel 6 used to always tell me, Al, I've been in this business for 39 years. Never make a prediction. That's what he always used to tell me because he always used to say, quote, predictions are for losers. That's what we do. That's what we do, though. We're in the industry on talk sports where it's about predictions. It's about predicting the score and who's going to win, blah, 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 blah. And Arizona State looked – they did not look great. You know, I couldn't – when I saw that score, I'm like, oh, here we go. Isaac is certainly going to give me crap for this one. So, yeah.
Don't you like that at least waited till it was on air, though, and didn't do it behind scenes to embarrass you a little bit more?
Yeah, I know. I like that. That was a good pull. So not only I don't just look stupid here, but Kirk Herbstreit also looks stupid. He actually chose Arizona State to make the playoff as well. So, but hey, we saw last year when Ohio State lost to VT, and it was a lot of controversy about them making it. So, hey, it's still a lot of football left to be played, all right? So let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll put a bow on today's edition of a Labor Day edition of Current Sports. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. That's a little bit of the Manhattans for you. this track entitled Crazy. I wanted to play this on Labor Day because each and every Labor Day, I'm usually with the fam and friends back in Detroit. We usually barbecue and just enjoy each other's time. But since I'm here, of course, hosting WKAR's Current Sports, no place I'd rather be, though. I love hosting this show. It's truly, as I always say, a blessing. And I think my grandmother's watching right now. She is a huge fan of the Manhattan. So we had to play that for her. All right. So love you, Grandma. Hope you're having a good one out there. Also, shout out to my auntie and uncle, Auntie Vine, Uncle Ray, Uncle Snoochie. We call him Uncle Snoochie. That's his childhood nickname we gave him back in the day, man. My cousin Remy, they're all tuned in as well. So appreciate the love. Appreciate the love on Labor Day. So, Isaac, you got any Labor Day traditions back in New Orleans?
Oh, I actually don't. We've got traditions for everything else, but Labor Day? Maybe that's the time we actually rest, because in New Orleans, every other time, you're doing something. But maybe yeah. Labor Day is the time you kick back, you know, crack open a beer or soda for me,
right,
and then you barbecue with the family, just basic stuff like that. Nothing special.
Yeah, nothing too special on Labor Day. And it's one of those days because, you know, Labor Day is usually the day that everyone starts school the next day, or you have to go back to work. So everyone's just kind of kicking it, kicking the breeze, and getting ready for the ensuing day, because you got to go back and hit the grind.
Yeah, you need a nice hiatus from all of that work.
Exactly.
All of that work.
Exactly. All right, folks. Well, each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we put a bow on the show by bringing you what we like to dub our weekend winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and deliver you who we thought had the best weekend. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, it is now time for Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and deliver you our Weekend Winner. So, for me, I got to start, Isaac, with the Alabama and Wisconsin game, because I thought that was a very intriguing game. I mean, if Wisconsin puts up a valiant fight, I mean, it would have really looked good for the entire Big Ten Conference as a whole. But Alabama, of course, they pushed out and eventually won that game 35-17 over the Badgers. Wisconsin, of course, when looking at what Joel Stave was able to do, he was 26 of 39 for 228 yards and two touchdowns. An offense that actually ranked 12th. Passing offense is actually ranked 12th in the Big Ten last year. So I was really interested to see how Joel Stave would approach that game. He looked pretty good early on, but eventually it kind of fizzled out as Alabama was able to really enact its own talent, I thought. And one of those very talented players for that team is Derrick Henry, running back for the Crimson Tide. He had 13 carries for 147 yards and three touchdowns. Derrick Henry was a man. Also, I really like the core that Alabama has on that team. I really like Alex Erickson, who is coming in and, you know, trying to be a guy who's going to replace Amari Cooper, who is now in the NFL. Big shoes to fill, but Alex Erickson, he's a guy who I really think can fill that void to a certain degree. I mean, Amari Cooper was a fantastic player for that team throughout his tenure with the Crimson Tide, but he looked great. Six receptions, 73 yards, one touchdown for Alex Erickson. Really impressive stuff. Also, Kenyon Drake, he was a guy who also looked pretty good for that team. I think he's going to be a stud. So Alabama, you know, who had question marks as who was going to be their playmaker, who was going to be their guy at quarterback. I thought that Jake Coker, he also looked very comfortable as that game went on. They really did a nice job. I thought Nick Saban did a nice job at easing him into the offense. Four of the first five plays for Alabama were all carries for Derrick Henry, just to sort of ease Coker into that offense. And after that, he looked great. So Alabama, the Crimson Tide, showing that they are still amongst the elite. No surprise there, though, right?
Yeah, Al, I mean, Saban, you can hate him all you want, as I certainly do. But at the end of the day, he is a great coach, and I thought that definitely showed. My weekend winners go to a couple of players. First off, I want to think Minnesota. I thought Minnesota, even though they lost, they looked really good. And I thought that Mitch Leiner at quarterback looked like he could really help lead this team, not just this year, but next year. rather Minnesota is going to compete for that Big Ten West championship, in my opinion. So I'm looking forward to seeing them a little bit more. Also, Clayton Thorson for Northwestern leading them to that win. They're one of my weekend winners. But the big two, Derrick Henry, you already mentioned him. He's now number one in most people's Heisman races after that fantastic game against Wisconsin. That time I got it right. And then finally, William Likely, a punt returner for Maryland. Mark my words, this guy might be the next Devin Hester. Yesterday against Richmond, he had 230 yards returning.
I saw that.
On six returns, plus 60 on kickoffs. So next Devin Hester, I really believe that just watching him yesterday.
That's a tall order. Tall order. Next Devin Hester.
I'm saying it. I'm calling it. I'm calling it.
That's a big statement.
This is something where you'll never remember him if he doesn't do anything. But if he does, you're like, Isaac's a genius.
That's what I tried to do with that Michigan and Utah game.
Exactly, and I called you out for it. Yeah. So maybe you'll remember this one.
You better believe. I'm marking this down right now in my mental memory, without a doubt, my man. We'll see. Also, Clemson. Clemson looked great. I want to give them a shout-out. They had a 49-10 win over Wofford, but at the same time, Clemson is one of those teams that, could surprise some people. And just college football in general, just having college football back. And, this weekend we have the NFL beginning. So I will be, of course, setting my fantasy lineup, making sure I got my pigskin pick'em set up as well. I think ESPN is doing something special as far as their games for this Sunday goes. So I think the official start, though, is Thursday, right? I think there is a Thursday night game. I believe there's a Thursday night game. I think maybe Pittsburgh is playing. Let me see here. Let me do a quick Google really quick here for you guys. Thursday night football. We also Google live on the air here a lot, too, folks. Let's see here. Yeah, Thursday, Steelers and Patriots, Tom Brady.
Good call.
That's going to be a huge game this Thursday at 8:30. So, yeah, the NFL season, I guess I got to start my lineup a bit early because I do have some players playing in that game.
Thanks for bringing that up, Al, because if not, I might have been setting my lineup on Saturday and realized, whoops, I forgot to start Antonio Brown or something like that. My last weekend, this one's a loser, unfortunately. Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
he was
cut
by the Eagles. I thought he had a chance to win that starting position, let alone make that roster. So I was really shocked by that.
Very shocked because I thought Chip Kelly, was really going to have Tim Tebow as that third string quarterback. But, when I saw that update flash on my phone, I had to kind of do a double take. Also, I do have one loser, though, and I really want to call out, these two individuals, these high school players, because I just thought it was just absolutely sickening if you saw this video. Two San Antonio high school football players have been suspended and could face criminal charges after one hit a referee from behind and the other subsequently speared him with his helmet during a Friday night football game. The two defensive backs from John Jay High School hit the back judge in the waning moments of a 15-9 loss at Marble Falls, which is located about 90 miles north of San Antonio. I'm going to elaborate on my thoughts and opinions on that story, which I think is absolutely sickening and has no place in the world of youth sports. But hey, let's end on a positive note. Have a fantastic Labor Day, ladies and gents. Make it a safe one. Make it a fun one with family and friends. And again, we are so honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your holiday weekend. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. And be easy, people.